Wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Inside Moin, ich bin der Manu und ich habe heute einen englischsprachigen Gast zu Gast, nämlich Tommy Tallarico, und deswegen werde ich jetzt auch auf Englisch wechseln, um ihn zu begrüßen. Good morning, Tommy Tallarico.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for standing up so early for our podcast. Maybe you should introduce yourself to our listeners, who you are and where you are exactly.
Sure. So I've been a video game composer for over 25 years. Have worked on over 300 video games, which is in the Guinness Book of World Record as the person who's worked on the most video games in their lifetime. Some of those games include from the earlier days things like The Terminator and Disney's Aladdin and Earthworm Jim and Cool Spot, and then later on getting into games like Mortal Kombat and Twisted Metal and Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and I worked on games like Metroid Prime and some of the Spider-Man games and James Bond games and Sonic the Hedgehog games, and so it's been definitely a super fun career over the last 25 years. But then 13 years ago, I created Video Games Live, which, and the reason I created it is I wanted to prove to the world how culturally significant and artistic video games have become. And so, just to quickly describe Video Games Live, it's all the greatest video game music of all time played by a full symphony and choir. But what makes it really special and unique is that everything is completely synchronized to massive video screens and a stage show production and rock and roll lighting and special effects and interactive elements with the crowd. So I kind of like to describe it as having all of the power and emotion of a symphony, but combined with the energy and excitement of a rock concert, mixed together with all the cutting-edge visuals and interactivity and technology and fun. So, but the goal from the beginning, like I said, being a video game composer myself, and there's a lot of these shows now that do video game music that have kind of come after our show. Following in our footsteps, but the coolest part I think about Video Games Live, what makes it so different, is, like I said, the whole, it's not a traditional symphony show. But the other big thing is that, you know, this is a show made by the game industry, made by the composers. It's the only show out there like that. You know, it's not just some producer trying to make a buck off the game industry, but it's actual people who are doing the games who, you know, care the most.
Before we come back to Video Games Live, the concert will be present in Köln this year at the Gamescom, and I will be there, of course, and watch you. But how did you end up working in the games industry? I mean, most of the people I met who work in the games industry, they're always coming from another angle to the industry, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, my two greatest loves growing up were always video games and music. Mm-hmm. And I'm 47 years old, so I was the first generation of people to grow up on video games in the 70s and 80s. But I never thought that I would ever put those two things together, because there was no such thing as a video game composer in the 70s. But my story is that I grew up on the East Coast of the United States, and 3,000 miles away from California and the music industry and entertainment industry. So when I turned 21, I left my parents crying on the doorstep. The whole story. And I drove out to California. I had no job, no place to stay, no friends, no money, nothing. I just got in my little two-seater car and started driving with a couple of t-shirts.
Not even a guitar?
And I didn't even have my guitar with me. It didn't fit in the car. No. And so I showed up in California, and I was homeless for the first month I was out there. I was literally sleeping on the beach underneath a pier. And but I picked up a newspaper the very first day I got there, and I saw a job for selling keyboards at a guitar center. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, keyboard is actually my main instrument. So, you know, and I knew all about synthesizers and stuff. And again, this is like the late 80s, early 90s. So, you know, I was kind of ahead of the game with technology just because I was so interested in keyboards and things. So I went there, I got the job, and they said, you start tomorrow. And one of the three T-shirts that I brought with me was a TurboGrafx 16 shirt. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the late 80s. No one had video game T-shirts back then. So it was extreme. And here I had this Japanese video game system that hadn't even come out in America yet. And so and that's how much into video games I was. And so I started the next day. So now I was in California 2 days and I started my new job. And the very first person who walked in the store, the first customer I waited on, happened to work for Richard Branson, you know, the Virgin companies. Mm-hmm. And they were starting a video game company right down the street. And he saw my T-shirt and he recognized, he goes, oh my gosh, do you know about video games? I said, I know everything about video games. And they said, do you want a job? I said, for sure. Doing what? They said, well, look, just come work for Virgin. We'll pay you a couple bucks an hour and you tell us, you play our video games and tell us if you like them or not and how we can make them better. And I'm like, my gosh, this is the greatest job in the world. Yes, of course. And so I was in California 3 days and I was in the video game industry as a games tester. I was the very first game tester Virgin ever hired. And so and every day though, I would bug the vice president of the company. I would say, please let me do music whenever you need it. I'll do it for free. Just give me the chance and I'll learn how to do it. And so when the first music came up for the project, we were actually working on the original Prince of Persia with Jordan Mechner. Yeah. And that was the first game I ever did music for. And so I did the music and it won an award. And so they said, well, geez, we better make you the music guy now. So, so that's how I got into doing video game music.
What a great start. I mean, you're like the impersonation of the American dream, like based on your story.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a Hollywood, your typical Hollywood story that maybe they'll make a movie someday.
Who's going to play you in the movie?
Maybe the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Kind of look a little bit like Ralph Macchio. I don't know.
I would watch that. Yeah. Let's make that a reality, people.
Hey, they're supposed to be doing a movie on Nolan Bushnell's life, you know, exactly. The creator of Atari, and they got Leonardo DiCaprio to play him. So who knows?
Wow. Do you still write scores for modern games or is it like your whole life, video games life now?
Yeah. You know, I had to kind of stop writing about 4 or 5 years ago when Video Games Live went from like 20 or 30 shows a year to like 40, 50 shows a year. So yeah. And I was also, I hosted, a very popular video game television show, in the US and Canada. I did that for 12 years as well too, as I from 1995 to 2007. So that's when I kind of had to put all that other stuff aside. And you know, for the game music stuff, you know, I'd worked on 300 games, more games than anyone else in the history of the planet. And you know, I had written, you know, hundreds of hours of music. And so, you know, I don't miss that at all because my music, I put all of my music, abilities and everything into Video Games Live, into creating these arrangements and orchestrations. So I don't feel like I'm missing, you know, that part of my life, because, you know, I'm doing it every day, just in a different capacity. I mean, over the last 13 years, I've now created over 150 segments, 150 different segments for Video Games Live, because we change the show every year. I mean, just for Gamescom alone, we're doing like, you know, 6 world premieres of things that, you know, have never been played before. You know, games like Siberia and Grim Fandango and, you know, some great, some amazing stuff from Blizzard, from like Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm and Hearthstone and Draenor. And so, I mean, there's all this, you know, some really incredible stuff going on.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. If like people who saw you or the show already this year in Germany, you have been to Munich, you have been to Berlin, you have been to Austria, Vienna. People who saw that show, they can still
completely
get a new show. Different. Okay, yeah.
Completely different show. That's that's the great part about Video Games Live, is that we can only play about 18 or 19 segments. That's about a 2.5 hour show. So as I mentioned, 150 segments. So, you know, and there might be 2 or 3 favorites that cross over, you know, the people love Castlevania and Chrono Cross. And, but even like, you know, things like Final Fantasy, we have like 6 different Final Fantasies. You know, we have 7, 8, 9, 10, 14, you know, 6. We, you know, we do so many, different ones, multiple versions of 7. Same with Zelda, right? So the Zelda that we played in all of the shows in Germany that we've done so far, the one that we're playing at Gamescom is a completely different segment with a featured soloist who's going to be traveling with us. Her name is Laura Entravia. She's also known as Flute Link on the internet. So she dresses up as Link and she plays an incredible flute, and she's an amazing vocalist. So even the vocalists that we're bringing are different from the ones that we brought before. So yeah, that's the, you know, for me, that's the fun. You know, if I just had to play the same 20 songs for 13 years, you know, it might get a little boring. Yeah. And what's the replay value there, right? What's the, you know, I want people to come out to the show every year and experience something totally different and new, because, I mean, there's so much amazing content in the game industry. How can you possibly cover it all in 2.5 hours? You can't, you know? So, I mean, we have, even though we have 150 segments, there's still like 5 or 6 things, not only that we're putting in the show for August for Gamescom, but I'm also working on 5 or 6 more that we're going to be launching by the end of the year. Games like Katamari Damacy and Phoenix Wright and Devil May Cry. And, you know, there's so much great stuff that we haven't even covered yet. So, always an endless well of material for the video game industry. Yeah.
Will you be hosting the shows yourself and conducting the shows in Cologne?
Yeah, I'll be hosting and playing guitar on some of the pieces, but I don't conduct. We have an amazing, absolutely incredible conductor. I cannot wait for folks to see her in action. Her name is Emer Noon. And Emer is a very famous conductor. Not only is she famous outside of the video game world for films and televisions and classical concerts, she's Irish born and raised, but she lives now in the U.S. But Emer is well known in the gaming industry for a couple of things. She's been the conductor of every single Blizzard game for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. So all that incredible music that you've heard from Warcraft, Starcraft, Diablo, Overwatch, all these games are conducted by Emer. The other thing is she's also the conductor of the Zelda. Nintendo hired her to conduct the Zelda 25th anniversary CD. So she's also the conductor, and she went on tour and helped to start the whole Zelda Symphony tour as well. She did that for a couple years. So before, you know, joining with us at Video Games Live. So yeah, she's one of the greatest conductors in the world. Seriously, no doubt. I'm not even, you know, exaggerating. When you see her perform, you can actually, because most conductors, you know, they stand around and they wave their arms back and forth and you're like, are they really doing anything? but when you watch her conduct and the emotion on her face and the way she moves, you understand what conducting really does, right? Because you're not only controlling the tempo, but also the volume, you know, the actual levels, volume levels of each player, but also the emotion. And that's one thing that she does better than anyone, you know, before. So she's just a real joy to watch. So I'm really excited for people to see her perform for the first time in Germany.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about when you start new segments or when you plan new segments for the show? Is it difficult to get the different copyright owners to allow you to create a new piece of music out of their games, or is it?
No, there's only one company that's a pain in the ass. and I'll tell you who they are. I don't care. I have nothing to hide. Because most companies, when they see this, they view this as an amazing marketing thing for their games. You know, we're showing their games in a culturally significant and artistic way. You know, because you live this every day with your podcast. Games still have this kind of negative dark cloud over them for people who don't play games. Yeah. You know, a lot of times the mainstream media will say, oh, those are just for nerds and losers, and you live with your mom and get a girlfriend or video games cause violence and blah, blah, blah. You know, so for people who don't play games and who aren't as passionate about them as me and you and that understand how incredible video games and artistic they are, for those people, they don't get it, right? So you know, and again, this is my big goal in creating Video Games Live in the first place. And so, you know, so that's a really kind of positive thing that, you know, that comes out from the show.
Yeah. Do you still get the notion that if you meet people that don't know you, that they look at you when you say you create video game music and you work for the video games industry? I don't know if you know Chris Hulsbeck. You know Chris Hulsbeck?
Of course, I've known Chris Hulsbeck 25 years. Hulsbeck, Chris is a great friend of mine.
Everybody knows Chris Hulsbeck when you play video games, right? Everybody loved Turrican and stuff like that. But I never met anybody outside of the games era that knows who Chris Hulsbeck is, because he isn't like a famous person, a famous musician outside of the video games industry. Does that happen to you as well, or?
Well, for me, it's a little different because in America, you know, like I said, I hosted a television show for 12 years. And also, like, I've done national television specials in America. Like, we did a big 2-hour Video Games Live national concert on PBS, which is the, you know, it's been around for 50 years. They've, you know, they do concerts like Paul McCartney and Sting and the Three Tenors. And you know, so it's the biggest concert, viewer in the world, viewership in the world. And Video Games Live was ranked number 8 of all time. That's over 50 years and 4,000 shows. We were ranked number 8. But of course, yeah, more to your point, it's probably not as bad as what Chris Hulsbeck, experiences. But to me, that's super cool. To me, it's like, you know, I can go to a comic convention or a game convention or whatever and feel like a famous person. But then when you just drive around in your everyday life and you go to the supermarket, you know, you don't have paparazzi following you around. So you can have your own personal life as well. So really, it's kind of like the best of both worlds. So that to me is actually pretty special and cool. You know, my cousin is Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. His real name is Steven Tellerico. And he can't go anywhere or do anything, right, without being recognized. And you know, me and Steven are pretty close. So, you know, this is, you know, he tells me sometimes, he goes, man, I wish I could just, you know, kind of, you know, hide and be unrecognized sometimes. But he actually loves it though. I mean, he loves being a rock star. I mean, he does it so well, you know, so he always spends times with the fans, no matter what he's doing or where he is. I mean, he appreciates all of that stuff. You know, he's not like one of these rock stars who are like, oh, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be recognized. I don't like fame. He actually loves fame and deservedly so. I mean, you know, he's the best.
Yeah. So, the shows for Cologne, they're like, how many? 3, 7, 8, and 9th of August?
Yep.
You can still get tickets for them. They're inside the Gamescom, right? They're inside the area.
Yeah, this is the first time that exactly. I mean, you know, we've played Leipzig, you know, back when Leipzig was the thing to do, you know, 8-10 years ago. So we've played there, but you know, I'm very good friends with the folks who run Gamescom. I'm friends with Hans Ipisch, who runs Computech Media. I've known him 25 years as well too, and then we also teamed up with Saturn, so you know, the biggest video game distributor in Germany. So literally the three biggest, you know, companies, one for media and magazines and internet online for gaming, one for gaming distributing, and of course the biggest video game convention in the world. So I mean, we've played the Tokyo Game Show in Japan multiple times. We've played E3 every year for, you know, the last 7-8 years. We play San Diego Comic-Con 4 or 5 times. But this is the first time that we've played Gamescom. Like I said, we've played Leipzig, but never played Cologne. And so, you know, when I do something, I like to do it right. You know, I don't like to do it half-assed. I don't like to, you know, go small and then build. I like to come out of the gate huge, you know. So when we did our very first show at the Hollywood Bowl, I mean, you know, and people said, I'm crazy. You know, you're lucky if you get 500 people. And that was the very first video game concert like it, you know, because no one had ever used video before. There were some, you know, game concerts over in Japan in the 80s, which were very much more traditional. There was even one show that was done in Germany. Again, very traditional and classical type of show. So when we did our show at the Hollywood Bowl, it was the very first time that music from Metal Gear Solid and Kingdom Hearts and Halo and Warcraft and Sonic the Hedgehog had ever been played live anywhere in the world. And we have the synchronized videos, and I brought the creators of all the games, had flown out from Japan. So Hideo Kojima was there, and Yuji Naka from Sonic was there. We had the Halo team, the Blizzard team. Everybody was there to celebrate this. And you know, the naysayers were like, oh, you're lucky if 500 people show up. Well, 11,000 people showed up for our very first show at the Hollywood Bowl, and all of a sudden I wasn't so crazy anymore, and you know, we've been doing it ever since.
So the people of Cologne can watch you at the Gamescom. Is it a challenging acoustic inside the Kölnmesse? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, but we do our show very differently from other traditional and typical symphony shows. So we mic everybody in the orchestra and the choir. So you know, again, think of it not as a traditional symphonic show, but more like a symphony and rock show. So we get shit loud. know, we want it loud, not piercingly so it hurts, but but it's not soft. It's not subtle. Unless the song calls for that. You know, if it's a slower, softer song, then obviously, you know, we do that. So, but a lot of it is kind of bombastic and in your face and very adrenaline pumping and exciting and all that stuff. So, the other thing I'd like to mention as well, too, is that the way that we create the set list for each show is what I do is I go on Facebook. And I create an events page for each one. So if people are interested in suggesting what to play, you know, go on our Facebook page, the Video Games Live Facebook page. We got hundreds of thousands of people there. And I create events pages for each event. And I ask people, what do you want to hear? Mm-hmm. And that's how I create a lot of the set list is I listen. You know, for some reason, I don't know why, maybe you can tell me, but for example, the game Monkey Island in Germany is huge. Like no one ever asked for that game anywhere else in the world except Germany.
It should
I don't
be.
Know what.
Germans,
I don't know
Germans love their adventure games.
Yeah, so we're I can tell you, I'll give you a world exclusive right now. I haven't told anyone this except you, but you know, we'll be playing Monkey Island in Gamescom. In fact, we're going to go one step further too, and Peter McConnell, one of the writers, composers of LucasArts, of those old games, and Clint Bajakian, they also worked on an incredible game called Grim Fandango.
Oh yeah.
You're probably familiar with that, which had incredible music, so we're going to be bringing that to Europe for the very first time. We're going to be playing that there as well. So kind of a two for one, Monkey Island and Grim Fandango together. So that'll be really fun. A game I worked on too, I think was popular, was popular in Germany, Earthworm Jim. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be bringing Earthworm Jim there as well too. So we'll have some fun. We'll have some fun humor with that in the show.
How do you work the transitions from game to game? You said the range is from Earthworm Jim up to Metal Gear Solid and God of War. How do you transition these segments?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a lot of different things. You know, I use a lot of comedy in the show because at the end of the day, this is entertainment, right? You know, I'm not. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to take video game music and translate it to like a traditional classical symphony sound. Mm-hmm. Other game concerts out there do that, and I don't disparage them at all. I think that's great. That's fantastic. But it's not what we are. Mm-hmm. You know what?
And it's not what you should expect from your shows, right?
Exactly. If you're looking to go to our show and hear a 14-minute version of, you know, Final Fantasy III, you know, don't go to the show. Well, you should still come to the show, but don't expect. You know, that's not what we're not doing interpretations. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, video game. What I do is I start with what everyone loves, right? People love Metal Gear Solid. People love Halo. And that sound is there. It's different. It's not a traditional sound. There's guitars. There's a drum kit. There's basses. There's, you know, drum loops. There's synthesizers. There's all these things that, like, in a game like Metal Gear Solid, for example, right? So I'm not going to take those big giant tom hits that everybody knows and taiko drum hits and kind of transpose them over to like a small orchestral drum kit. That to me, that waters down the composer's vision. It waters down what people recognize it and why they fell in love with it. So what we do is we start with exactly what was there and then we pile on top of that. And then we bring in the synchronized video and then we bring in the rock and roll lighting and you know, and so it creates this kind of energy and atmosphere that you know no one else out there has ever done before. So that's and so sometimes when we transition between, we have the actual creator of the game. Because I work with all the composers, or obviously all my friends, whether it's, you know, the Koji Kondos and Nobu Uematsus in Japan, or the Marty O'Donnells for Halo in the US, or Russell Brower for Blizzard, or whoever it is, you know, they're all my buddies. And we also work with the game designer themselves. So when I create the Metal Gear Solid segment, I spent time with Hideo Kojima, another good buddy of mine. And we sat down and he wanted to make sure that his favorite scenes were in the game. And then I'll work with the video teams and the artist who actually created it. And we all get together and do the editing and things like that. So if it's a Blizzard piece, then I'm working with the Blizzard team, which are incredible. The cinematic team for Blizzard is just mind blowing. If it's Halo, I'm working with the Bungie folks, whatever, you know. So, and then I'll get those people to do introductions sometimes to each of the things. So Hideo Kojima introduces our Metal Gear Solid segment. Yuji Naka, creator of Sonic the Hedgehog, introduces our Sonic segment. Koji Kondo, composer of Mario, Zelda, Star Fox, everything else, introduces our segment. So yeah, that's the that's kind of the fun part, is that it's the entire industry getting involved and recognizing the importance of what Video Games Live is and what it's become.
Man, I'm looking forward. I'm really excited for the Friday now.
Great.
It sounds like a big, huge celebration of the games, of the love for games, and a huge party.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly how I describe the show to people when they say, you know, well, what do you hope people get out of it? And that's exactly what I say. I say, look, Video Games Live is a celebration of the entire video game industry, not just the music. And that's why it's important to have visuals and to have that kind of sense of excitement and gravitas, if you will, with all the rock and roll lighting and special effects and all the fun and interactive stuff that we do. You know, because games are fun. You know, games aren't serious. The games aren't, you know, shh, everybody be quiet, we're about to start the song. Shh. Okay, now go. You know, and it's like, no, I get out there and I say, okay, everybody, I want you to scream, chat, yell, holler, cheer whenever you feel like. And people are like, really? Awesome. Okay. And they're jumping out of their chairs. You know, this is what it is. It's a celebration of video games. And video games aren't just about music. It's about the visuals and the storylines and the characters and the people who make them. And that's what we bring together. You know, that's everything that we put together. Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to mention, because I don't know if this has been announced yet or not, but we're doing the music, the world premiere for the music for Siberia.
Ooh, nice.
At GamesCon. But on the 7th, for one night only, the first show, which you mentioned you'll be at, the composer of Siberia, Inan Zur, is coming over from America just to conduct that piece for that one night, and then he's going back home. So that'll be cool. That's a special thing. And like I said, we're going to have a meet and greet after the show, a special meet and greet with some of the performers and the game composers and things like that. And that's all free for anyone who is a ticket holder. They can come to the show. And again, that's something else that's different that we do that others who've come after us, you know, they charge to go meet the composers afterwards. And, you know, that's not what our goal is here. Our goal is to meet the folks. Our goal is to, you know, we want access to the fans and give them access to all of us. So,
it sounds like a perfect fit for the Gamescom, you know, like being at the Gamescom and being part of the Gamescom where everybody comes together like a big, huge family get together.
For sure. That's exactly it. That's the goal. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Monkey Island segment, of course, since I'm German.
Yes.
I should give you the contact for that German theater. They made a Monkey Island musical, actually, this year.
No way.
Yeah.
That's great.
they should come around with the cosplaying and dance the monkey dance.
That would be amazing.
Great. So there are still tickets available for the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Absolutely. You know, and we're even going to be, we're going to be selling tickets right there on site as well. And so if there's any left, you know, but it's a big place, you know, it seats, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 people. Yeah, there's like 4,000 people in the auditorium. So, you know, over the course of three nights, there'll be 12,000, hopefully 12,000 people there. So,
yeah. Thanks for being here. Looking forward to August. What is your plan for the future for Video Games Live? How do you see the do you still will jet around the world and make a concert every 2 or 3 days?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, over the next couple of weeks, from now till Germany, you know, we're going to be playing on 4 different continents, 17 different shows. And like I said, every show is different for us. So I've never played the same set list twice ever. Mm-hmm. And the show is actually Video Games Live is also in the Guinness Book of World Records as we actually have 2 Guinness World Records for Video Games Live. One is the most video game concerts ever performed. And the other one is the most symphony shows performed by one show. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. And in all the history of, you know, all the symphony shows, were the production that has performed the most single production. So that's kind of crazy. So yeah, I mean, we just, you know, every year we grow bigger and bigger. You know, there's always something new, a new game coming out and a new place to go. You know, we've been touring for over 10 years now, but you know, in a couple of weeks we'll be playing Australia for the first time, mm-hmm. which we've been touring 10 years, but we're playing Cologne for the first time. So we're, you know, last year or 2 years ago, we played the Middle East for the first time, Dubai, and we've been going back there every year, but now we're doing another country, Qatar, in the Middle East. So mm-hmm. that's coming up. When we play in China, there's so many cities there, you know, in China that, you know, we'll go there for 3-4 weeks at a time and play to 25,000 people a night. Wow. In these massive stadiums. Same with Mexico. We play baseball stadiums down there. Or Brazil, where we've been going for 10 years. And every year the crowds get bigger and bigger. And it's just incredible down there. And again, here we are coming to Germany for the first time this year. We played Vienna and those other places you mentioned. But we're coming back in November to Germany to play Hamburg and
Nuremberg.
Where the heck are
Hamburg?
Yeah.
Frankfurt. Yeah.
In Frankfurt. Yeah, that's right. And we've already played Berlin.
14th November, Frankfurt, 15th November, Hamburg. Exactly.
I'm glad you knew that because I didn't. But we've played Munich and Berlin earlier this year. So it's crazy. And we're already planning on going back in March next year already. Go back to, some places we already visited with a new show. So always changing, always exciting. It certainly hasn't gotten boring for me yet. So
as long as it is fresh for you and you still keep the fun up. Yeah.
Exactly. And the passion is always there and it always will be. So we're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for your time.
All right.
Looking forward to Cologne. Have a good trip to Germany, and we will see you performing Monkey Island, of course.
Excellent. I can't wait for you to hear it.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot and see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.